to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
Today we are continuing with our big or broad subject. God's presence is the missing something in our society. And we would like to look at a subsection under this big umbrella or under this big title and look at God's presence is our safest umbrella in life. So today specifically we want to zero in and look at God's presence being our safest umbrella in life. And we shall begin by reading from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. The Bible tells us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." God's presence is your safest umbrella in life. As we have read from Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, we are fighting an enemy today who is very cunning and who is very subtle. We are fighting an enemy, Satan, who has been in this world longer than any of us. He does not show himself in true colors for us to see and understand that he is in our background. He is around us fighting. That is why the Bible reminds us that even though we are fighting this war, we need to remember that we are not just fighting against flesh and blood, which we can see. We are fighting against those wicked powers. We are fighting against the ruler, whom the Bible tells us that he's the ruler of this dark world. We are fighting against spiritual wickedness in very different areas of life. So we are fighting a cunning enemy. But if we have to deal with an enemy whom we cannot see, an enemy who disguises himself that much, then we have to heed and understand his strategies, because it is not easy to fight somebody if you don't know how he's operating or even how he's going to attack you. So, what are some of the strategies that Satan uses to draw us out of God's umbrella? Now that we are saying God's presence is the safest umbrella for us in life, there is one major strategy that the devil is using against us in the world today at this moment. And his greatest strategy is to turn our minds, to turn the minds of God's people against God. He works very hard to gain control of the mind. And for those who let him, he turns the human mind and it becomes an experimental workshop. That is because, just as the Bible reminds us, the mind is the greatest battlefield in our spiritual warfare. Most struggles in life always begin in the mind. In fact, most actions are going to be performed first in the mind. They're going to be premeditated or they'll be formulated. You will map them out totally and clearly in your mind long before you can implement them, or long before they can be implemented. You'll also find that most sins are first committed in the mind before they even surface into real physical acts. Those physical acts only follow what has already occurred in the mind. That is not just in the mind of spiritual warfare, but it is practical also, that even before you surrender, before you give up, before you say, I am defeated, that defeat first takes place in the mind. That is also true for victory. courage, hope, and even confidence, they usually swell up within us before we can declare the outward victory. So that is one area the enemy knows. If he can defeat you and me in our minds, he has got the real person. It is very hard to get out of your mind and walk into victory if you are defeated right there in the mind. So how are we going to survive? How are Christians going to hang on? How are Christians going to live victoriously? You know, the safest place for you to be is in the presence of God. Those who remain under the cover of God are going to be safe. Those who let God come down, bring his presence down round about them, as we have said over and over again, when you let him overshadow you with that cloudy pillar, when you let him overshadow you without pillar of fire, the way he did for his children in Israel, the children of Israel, as they were walking through the wilderness to the promised land, you will be safe. But when God withdraws his presence, then you are subjected to this tumultuous life, constantly running away from the enemy. You know, I have worked in an educational institution for most of my career life. I have watched and helped many young people. I have worked with older women, older men, different families, just as they struggle and go through different stages of life. I want to talk about a group that has interested me. Of great interest has been those people, be it men, be it women, be it young, be it old, who do not embrace God. Those who have decided to shut God out of their lives. I've observed a very common trend, and this trend transcends the area they are living. It transcends even their economic status. It transcends their social setup. Those who choose to dive into sin without any restraint tend to show a very unique pattern. Their lifestyle, you'll find that is going to cycle around sex and around drugs. Most of them do not act the way their age demands. You're going to find that at that particular age, when you talk to them, the age where they began to indulge themselves in sex and they began to indulge themselves in drugs, it surprises you that their current behavior tends to correlate with the age at which they began, such that a 26-year-old man who began trading in drugs and sex at age 14 is going to have very many characteristics of a 14-year-old. A 32-year-old woman who began a life of drugs, a life of sex, maybe at age 16, will also show characteristics, many characteristics of a 16-year-old. You see, we have said that the devil is cunning. The Bible has told us that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We are fighting against principalities. We are fighting against powers. We are fighting against the spiritual wickedness in high places, spiritual wickedness. We are fighting an enemy who entices us. We are fighting an enemy who deceives us and draws us without letting us know that whatever we are doing is not out of our own will, but we are gently, slowly, but surely following an enemy. You see, most of us do not understand how drugs work. But drugs work to alter the normal functioning of the brain. They interrupt the transmission of those chemical information, the chemical information that is moved or transferred from one cell to another. I want you to bear with me as I take you through this little explanation. Our brains have a chemical substance called neurotransmitters. These neurotransmitters are the agents through which information is communicated between the brain and the rest of the body. So information is passed back and forth from the brain to the spinal cord and then down all other parts of our body through nerves. We understand that one very well. It is through this transmission of information that the brain can now relay and receive information. And that is what makes it possible for us to see. That is what makes it possible for us to hear, to feel, to taste, or even smell. Those are our senses. And this is the same relay pattern through which we can think, we can remember, we can reason. For this to occur, the chemical information is relayed from one cell to another until the final destination or until the expected result is achieved. You see, at the point where that information is transferred from one cell to another is a joining or a connecting point, which we call a synapse. So, as a cell receives information from one cell, it processes that information before it sends it to another cell. And to accomplish this myriad of communications that go on in the body, and for it to sustain those normal body functions, the brain requires billions of these nerve cells, which we also call neurons. But what happens? Drugs tap into this very natural communication pattern of nerve cells that God has put in our body. Drugs interfere and they alter the transmission of those neurotransmitters. Remember, the chemical substances that we are finding in cells that help transfer information from one cell to another. And this is because those drugs block the sites where information is transferred from one cell to another. Remember, this is that junction where one cell is joined to another. So drugs sit in this very binding site. And so they prevent the carrying of information or the relaying of the brain or the relaying of information by the brain from one area to another. If the brain cannot relay information from one area to another, this interferes with the way neurons are going to send information. You may send information, but the information never gets there. Or if you send information, the information is distorted, and not all information is going to reach the expected, and because a drug is sitting at that intersection point where the information is supposed to be passed from one cell to another. When this happens, the body is automatically thrown into turmoil, and then one is forced to begin dealing with a lot of maladaptive senses and changes in that body. And that is why you're going to find that those who are hooked onto substances, and remember, I'm not just talking of legal, illegal substances. This also includes even prescription drugs that are being misused. So once you get hooked onto that substance, we are going to find that people begin to display that abhorrent behavior. It is not uncommon to find that the same people are going to be very restless. They are going to be very impulsive. They are going to show lots of compulsions. And as we have noted, immaturity. Most of the time, you're also going to find that there is lack of soundness of mind There is lack of soundness when they need to make decisions. Their judgments begin to get very faulty. Their judgment begins to get very, very hasty. Once those drugs are allowed to sit in those binding sites for a long time, you find that one's maturity gets impaired. And that is why you can begin to see retardation of the mind. You can begin to see a retardation in their developmental stages. This becomes very overt in their physical, in their mental, and their emotional dysfunctions. But as we stand here today, this is also a very clear picture of the perilous world in which we are living right now. We are surrounded by people who are subjected to the effects of the enemy through the use of these drugs. We are surrounded by people who are going through a lot of turmoil. People who began thinking that it was just a little test, but they did not understand that it was not at their own free will that they were doing that. There was an enemy behind it. There was an enemy fighting within the principalities of the earth, within the forces of evil. Somebody who was throwing a bait on the road and they were following. And now today they find themselves so netted and they don't know what to do. This is an issue that is affecting not just individuals, an issue that is not just affecting homes, but an issue that has grown rampant and is affecting the nation. When the enemy takes control of our minds, he is not just defeating us and as individuals. He is defeating the home. He is defeating the structure that God has put in place that will help us function and become productive. When the enemy gets a hold of our brains and our mind, he is defeating an entire nation. That is a strategy. Think about the impact that these drugs are going to have on the generations to come. But what is God asking of us? Can we continue this way and survive? Remember the root cause of how we get entangled and how we get very far away, farther than we thought, is because of the presence of God that has been suppressed. You cannot survive without intense guilt. You cannot survive without the cleansing that comes from our Savior. You are not going to survive without the forgiveness. God gives a brand new start. It is God who has that power to cleanse. He has the power to break the pattern. He has the power to deliver. And that is our hope today, that we can go back to God and find healing. He is not sending us away. Instead, His arms are open unto us. He's telling us, "My child, I know how you're suffering. You will not make it in these perilous times. The enemy has nated you. Come back unto me." You know, I have learned through the years that a mind that is devoid of God is very unstable. If you look at what the Bible tells us in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, it affirms it. The Bible says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." You see, it is Christ who created all things. It is Christ who holds all things together by the power of his hand. So without the word of his power, it also goes without saying that everything falls apart. This is very true of all creation. This is very true when it comes to human government. This is also very true with us as individuals. When God is not in his rightful place, then everything begins to disintegrate. Things begin to fall away. when God is not in his place, our own minds cannot be governed by us. That is why it becomes very easy to turn psychotic. As we have said, we are fighting an enemy who is cunning. We are fighting. He doesn't appear in those colors for us to see him. What does he do? He likes to throw well-calculated baits. Satan lures. He uses deceit. He camouflages and even disguises his presentation so that we cannot identify them, so that we cannot recognize them very easily. You know, think about flies. Small though they are, flies are not very easy to catch without putting thought and effort into it. In fact, I can tell you, I'm sure there are very many people who have bought lots and lots of fly swatters. They have tried using them tirelessly. Some have caught flies, some have beat them up for sure, but very many hundreds and thousands have gone scot-free. If we were to get into their minds, maybe they would laugh. It's like, yeah, I've seen you try 101 times and you haven't got me not even once on those many attempts. Why? Flies, they are small, but they are smart. They are alert. Flies are on the move all the time. So it is not always that you're going to hit them with utter precision. But think of what happens in the hot summer months. Flies tend to increase, and then they even begin to interfere with our own nice outdoor cooking. They mess up the eating, they mess up the highlights of those moments. But humans can catch flies because humans are much smarter than flies. And humans can employ very convenient methods that can catch flies easily. And they don't even have to post a watchman over them. One of the favorites that I have seen people use, I don't use that much myself, but I have seen many of my friends use, and I have seen it work, is where you use sticky paper strips. How does that work? This method capitalizes on the likes and the weakness of flies. You see, flies are small, they're also light, and so they stick to very appropriate surfaces without any much trouble, without you fearing that they're going to drag or they're going to fly off with that surface. Flies like sugar. They cannot resist certain sugary mixes. So to play and to prey on their little minds, what do? You take a coarse brown paper. Brown paper. Brown is a color that they're going to mistake for very many other natural surfaces. And so you spray that brown paper with a concentration of a mixture where you have water, you have sugar, you have vinegar, and you have honey. Flies cannot resist the smell of fermentation, which is in that vinegar. So what do? You also look at their likes and dislikes. Flies are not going to resist fruit. So that fruity, flowery scent that the honey is going to add is just another perfect lure. So as the fly rejoices, you know, they dive and they just seem like, oh my goodness, today somebody is dealing with us out of their goodness, out of their generosity. Little do they know, little do they even stop to think that what they're about to land on is actually a trap. You see, when all those little senses in them are heightened for those delicacies, their focus is on nothing but on that paper trap. So with joy, with swaying movements, that is what I see them doing. It's hard to get into the mind of fly. But as they dance over there, they rejoice over there, they just embark and begin to feast. And as they are feasting, they are very oblivious that which they are doing, their eating can hold them captive. They can be held captive. They can be held in that very same spot until they just finally pay in full with their life. It is very hard, as I've said, to get into the thoughts of a fly. But I'm sure when they discover that they cannot fly out, when they discover that, oh my goodness, that sumptuous delicacy was not really a delicacy, I'm sure they become very, very loathsome. They wish they had known. They wish somebody had passed by to flag them away. They must feel so disgusted. They must feel like throwing up. And of course, I'm sure they get into distress. But you see, that is exactly what Satan does to us. He lures us. He watches us. He calculates his baits. He knows exactly what we like, what we don't like. He knows what can hold us longer than we desire. He knows what we cannot resist. And so when he finally presents it before us, just like those little flies, our mind is only focused on the delicacy. Our mind is focused on what looks like goodness that has been presented before us. Our mind is just focused on what looks like, oh, this is exactly what my heart needs at this time. But little do we know that something else has been behind it. An enemy has cultivated his steps. He has watched us and he's finally netting us. You don't have to stay that way. God's umbrella is still open. We can duck back under that umbrella and cry back to God and say, God, open my eyes. God, help me. Lord, I am trapped. Lord, I did not understand what I was getting into, but help me in your mercy. Help me in your power. We don't have much time to continue this lesson today. But let us pray that God will help us and we shall pick up from where we have left. Our Father, it is with broken hearts that we come to you. We acknowledge our vulnerability again. We acknowledge our weakness. We acknowledge that without you, we are in danger as individuals, as homes, as families, as a nation, and even as a world. But you are the God of all power. You are the God of all grace. You are the Almighty God. Father, we pray for your help. We plead for your forgiveness. Hold our hands again and draw us to yourself. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling, those who are netted and are in a position where they never thought they would be. Lord, and their hearts are crying out, won't somebody help me? Their hearts are crying out, I don't know how to get out of this mess. Our Father, we pray that in your grace you'll reach down to every individual. Minister to us and draw us to yourself again. Restore your presence in us. Hold our hands and draw us back into your umbrella. We love you, we exalt you, for we have prayed in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AmiliaKenya.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.